Bienvenidos, bienvenue, herzlich willkommen, welcome to the 91st Minute. I'm your host, Vic Bell. I'm a football enthusiast and an inspiring coach who lives and breathes for the beautiful game. Whether it's football news, formations, debates, or coaches that seal their team's fate, we've got you covered. Thank you for stopping by. Fasten your seatbelts. The 91st Minute starts now. Welcome, everyone, to the 91st Minute. As always, I'm your host, Vic Bell. Today is a special episode. We're here yet again discussing the intricacies of Tottenham Spurs. And I've brought the two heavy hitters, the ones who know a lot about their clubs, the ones who have a great affinity towards Tottenham. They've graced episodes on this platform before. Welcome, Shegan and Ash. This is The Roundtable.
What's happening, Shegan, man? Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ash. Thanks, Vic. Good to be here again.
Well, what's going on, man? I feel the tension. I feel the energy.
There's no tension. This is energy, isn't it? It's energy. We're having this moment at a difficult moment. So it is what it is.
I know the season's not over yet, but what player improved the most under Conte?
Eric Dier. Without a shadow of a doubt, Eric Dier. I've seen something in him that I've never, ever seen in him before. Everyone else, there's others that have improved, but I've seen that from them before. Harry Kane's slowly getting back. I've seen that from him before. Lucas improved a little bit. I've seen that from him before. Eric Dier, I've never seen him play like this in my life.
Shegan.
Yeah.
What are Conte's weaknesses?
His weakness is his reliance on his formation. It's predictability. Every manager can know.
Stubbornness, would you say?
Stubbornness, maybe. Opposing manager could go, right, they're playing 3-5-2 or 3-4-3. We can plan against that. That's his weakness. So he's not flexible with his formation.
Ash, to finish up with the Conte topic, actually, that's a question to the both of you guys. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. What makes Antonio Conte a world-class manager?
I think his ability to change players' mentality, I think, is massive. I think, you know, you look at over the years of his career, he's really, like, you know, people like Victor Moses, Ivan Perisic, he's able to change the mentality of a team. Like, even with Spurs, I know that I'm not saying we have a winning mentality, but I can see that there is a change. I think with his vision on management, he knows exactly what a player can bring to his team. And he can use certain aspects of someone's game and just get them to limit themselves to do 3 or 4 tasks. So he can make a crap player look really good because they're only good at doing 3 or 4 things, but he limits them to that. And I think his formation of 3-5-2, which is his bread and butter, when he's got a complete team, it's almost impossible to stop him.
For me, Vic, I would say what makes him elite is that he's faced obstacles in different countries and he's come through. And even at international level to a degree. And that's only a few managers has done that. And to date, he's the only manager to win the Premier League playing 3 at the back. No other manager has done that. So,
do you know one thing I want to talk about, that league title you won at Chelsea? For me, I think... I hate to say this.
No, you can't do that. I can see you're going to say that. You can't scrub that out and say that it was a team that won a league 2 seasons ago before whatever.
What I wanted to say was, that was, he won it in Pep Guardiola's first season at Man City, right? And what was Jurgen Klopp on? Second season, number 1? Was it his first season as well?
No, it might have been his second.
Let me have a look, actually.
It might have been his second. I'm not sure.
So, what I'm trying to say is, Man United 2006. Who did they have in 2016? Was it Louis van Gaal? It was van Gaal, innit?
Yeah, van Gaal.
Because it was before Jose, so it was van Gaal, innit? Yeah. So, he won it against a meaty Man United team, a City team that hadn't got going yet, a Liverpool team that hadn't got going yet. So I think that league title at Chelsea is being a little bit milked.
I'm not holding up, because that's the same team that, that those managers had all finished above Chelsea the season beforehand. He got them when they were finished in 10th.
And
he got slapped in the first four games or so, I think, when he lost to Arsenal, whatever that was.
He got slapped.
3-0, he got slapped. And he went, right, I ain't doing this this way, that you're not doing it. You're all going to do it my way. And he won the league. He went on that crazy run and he won the league. You can't discredit that. And then he won the FA Cup the next season. So let's not think he didn't do nothing. He won the FA Cup the next season.
I'm not saying he didn't do nothing. I'm just saying that that league title is slightly...
I see what Ash is doing here. You want to scrap that out. No, we're not having that, Ash. That's crazy. Listen. Top four. Is this?
It's over. It's over. Goal? Top four is over.
Come on. What do you mean, Shagan? Surely you're not going to abide to this pessimistic train of thought.
This season, I came in this season with a different mindset. This year, I was just trying to go the opposite to how I would be in terms of pessimism, and just kind of be like, yeah, no, we can't win this game. I was going to be always, when even if the obstacles were against us, I'll always say that we can do something. And I was trying to spread that from the start of the season, even under Nuno. I was saying, look, we're top of the league. We're going to win the league. Righty rare. Just trying to push a different mindset with the fans. I'm not going to lie, this is hard. But this is fresh off a bad result. But I still have to say, I still have to live true to my cause this season. I'll reevaluate at the end of the season. But let's say we can still do it. Because at the end of the day, we still got to play teams who want to finish above us. We still got to play them. We got to play Wolves. Right, we got to play Arsenal. We got to play Manchester United and Liverpool. So we've all got to play them. So it's in our hands again. In terms of our hands, and we're relying on other people to lose, it's still possible.
Listen, the problem we're in now, we're level on games. We have no more games in hand against Arsenal, and we are level. We're level on points with them, right? The situation with Man. Let me just get the league table up here. Yeah. So the situation.
Man United, we've got one game with two points behind them.
Right. So I've got the league table here. Right. So we're Man United, two games behind them. So they play 23. We've played 21, and we are three points behind. Right. So West Ham, we're three games behind, and we are 4 points behind West Ham, right? But then the problem is Arsenal are in the same boat as us. Now, the problem is our next game is against Wolves at home. Wolverhampton Wanderers, but don't even look at the table. I'll tell you this. They are the best team outside of the top six. They are the best team. They are a very, very well-drilled team. They are defensively very hard to break down, but they don't score a lot of goals, right? Their last five games, win, 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 draw, win. They are currently equal games played of us. They are 2 points behind us. If they beat us...
No, it's not even that, Ash. They got Arsenal today. If they beat Arsenal, they got
us. They're going to beat Arsenal. Wolves are playing at home. They're at the Molineux. They're going to beat them. They will beat Arsenal today.
Okay, then they go above both of us. Then we have to beat them. This is what I'm saying.
This is why I don't think we're going to get top four. Our next two games, Wolves and Man City. In my opinion, we're losing both of them. And you lose both of them, that's it. It's over.
No, not at all. I don't think so. Because we still got to play Arsenal, still got to play Manchester United. And they're not playing well. Master playing better. But Arsenal, Man United, they're not playing very well. They've still got to play the other teams as well.
Yeah.
Everyone still has to play each other. So no one's going to go on this run where no one loses. Everyone's going to lose a couple of games. It's going to be our record against the other top eight teams. West Ham, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, one other team, and Wolves. Our games against those teams, six teams or five teams, will decide whether we finish top four. Because we're going to have to play each other, and they're going to have to play everybody else as well. So it's all still up for it. All that's happened is we've lost our position as being sort of slight underdogs to guarantee top four by losing against Southampton. That's all.
Now, you know, going on to just touching on this now, and I want to say this. We know that Wolves in that midfield, yeah, Paul Dents, what's his name? Ruben Neves and João Moutinho. We know that in that two, I think it'll probably be Neves and Moutinho, that they are going to control that midfield. So come Sunday, yeah, if I don't see a three-man midfield from us, from Conte, I'm going to be asking serious questions. Because I can tell you now from the get-go, if you put a two-man midfield, even if you put Bentancur and Skip, they will not be able to handle Neves and Moutinho. So it has to be 3-5-2 or hell. That's it. No other choices now. We've had enough of this 3-4-3 rubbish. We can't even... We're letting James Ward-Prowse and Oriol Romeu dominate us. 3-4-3 ends today. It's wait, over.
Wait, isn't Romeu the kid from Barcelona?
Unfortunately, yeah.
We let him and James Ward-Prowse dunk on our head tops. Dunk on us.
I see you, Shagan. I see you, Ash. La Masia, man. La Masia. What's going on?
Bang La Masia, bro.
Okay. So if I were to ask you, Shagan, who are your biggest rivals to finish in the top four? Like, who are the biggest ones?
The biggest threat, you mean?
Yeah, the biggest like, threat.
I would say, actually, Manchester United. Because if you break it down for player, this shouldn't even be a competition. They should be there already. It shouldn't even be. It's because they play so badly, they let everybody else in. They're the biggest threat, the biggest underdog to it. Wolves. People are sleeping on Wolves and how they've churned through results. And they just suddenly, as I mentioned earlier, they're one game away from being above us. And you kind of hope they're above us. Or they hope, we kind of hope for a draw now.
Do you know what it was, Shagan? Yeah. I remember at the beginning of the season, you wasn't in our group chat then. And I remember, yeah, I was very, even though we was top of the league, I was very, anyone could back me up, I ain't trying shit. I was very concerned at our performances, especially the Watford game. I was like, something is not right here.
You said it.
I called everything out and I was very, very concerned. Yeah, we won the Man City game. Fantastic performance, by the way. I absolutely loved that game, right? But the Watford game and the Wolves game, I was like, hang on a minute. There is something not wrong here, right? Then I remember Wolves, they bullied us, but they lost. Their third game was against United. They absolutely bullied them the same way they bullied us, but they lost the game. And I remember from that moment, I was calling Nuno. Yeah, I was calling him out. And I was saying to these guys in the group, I was like, fair enough. I can understand. Yeah. My problem, when that situation was happening at the start of the season, I said, because they were criticizing me saying, oh, what do you expect Nuno to do? And I said to him, the one thing I want to see a style of play. I want to see how they play. I said, I don't care about the result when a new manager comes in. I just want to see his philosophy. I said, with Nuno, it is stale and we hang on for dear life and we win games. And I used the example. I said, look at Bruno Lage, yeah? I said, he's come in. He's had the same amount of time Nuno had with the team, a similar amount of time, yeah? And I said, even though they lost their first three games, you can see his ideas, his philosophy. And I said to them, I said, if Wolves carry on playing that way, it is only a matter of time before they start winning games. Yeah. And this manager has got I don't know how he's done it, but fair play to him. I think he's a top, top coach. Yeah. And I can see the way that he's getting Wolves to play. They are an absolute nightmare to play against. So listen, don't be surprised if on Sunday they bully us for 90 minutes, because it's going to happen. I'm telling you that now. It's going to happen.
I don't think so. I've never seen anybody bully Conte's team playing the same formation. It's when they don't. And I've noticed the better managers don't.
They go four at the back.
Thomas Tuchel changed. He always went four. He played four against his team every single time. He never played the same formation against him. Because even though he plays a 3-4-3 himself, he just went, nah, not against you. I'm playing a four. Every single time. That's not coincidence. So I don't think we'll get bullied by them. I think it'll be a tough game. I just got to hope for a win, though, as always.
Top four. If you guys were to give a percentage, Ash, what would you give Spurs?
Well, how likely we are to get top four?
Yes.
I reckon there's a 3 out of 10 chance, 30% chance that we get it.
That is low, my goodness.
And why I say that is because now, so a week ago, top four was kind of in our hands sort of thing. But now, the problem is now, not only is it not in our hands, now we have to wait for the opposition to slip up. And when they do slip up, we then have to take advantage, which we always tend to fail to do. Oh, Man United lose, Spurs play on Sunday, Spurs lost. Thank you very much. Happens all the time, bro. Happens all the time.
Fagan.
I'm going to be a bit more. I'm saying it's a 70% chance. But, similar to what I said, because he said, and no, opposite of what he said, because he said it's not in our hands. It actually is in our hands. We have to play everybody. We've got to play the teams. We have to beat. We've got to play West Ham. We've got to play Arsenal. We've got to play Man United. We've got to play Wolves.
No. But when I say it's not in our hands, I say we're relying on other teams to lose.
No, but that's what I'm saying. We're not. If we win all our games against them, we're top four. That's the fact.
Because we're behind Arsenal right now.
But we have to play them. We beat them. We're above them. So this
that's
is what I mean.
If it's, we beat them, what? That's yeah, yeah. if. So, that's so, no, no, so right now it's not in our hands.
30% in it. No, it is in our hands because being in your hands means you win your games, you get the prize. It's when if we were 3 points behind Arsenal and we have to beat them to gain those 3 points back again with the same level of games, then I say it's not in our hands because we're waiting for them to slip up in another game.
What if we beat Arsenal, but then we lose to Man United? Then you've cancelled out your win. You've cancelled out your win against Arsenal.
Yeah, but then that's thinking that Arsenal are going to go undefeated for the rest of the season, which is possible, but I don't see it. All I'm saying is we're still very much in it because no team has pulled away yet. A set of run of game fixtures in that blows them away. Who knows what happens when the European Football Cup kicks
in? Yeah, you're right. In that sense, technically, we're still in it. Technically, no team has pulled away. But I just feel that Southampton at home is one of those games you just rub. Listen, I know it's a difficult game, but bro, they're 13th in the league. They're 13th.
I hear that, Ash. But the problem is,
what I'm trying to say,
their
is
position
that
doesn't respect how good a setup they can have. And when they've got games time and their players to go against a team, they can set them up. No one really likes playing them because they're a difficult team to play because they work and they do try and they play a awkward formation that you're not really used to play against. And if you don't set up against them correctly, you get beat, hence yesterday. But I just think if, as much as you say we drew against Southampton, or lost against Southampton, sorry, we also drew against Liverpool, who are a far better team that everybody will agree with. So there's something in this team to make performances. Somebody,
and
the manager, has to grab
them
and put them together and make it happen.
Do you know what that something is in this team? Do you know what it is?
What?
I'll pinpoint it out to you. Our two best performances, Leicester and Liverpool. What formation did we play in those two games?
We played a 3-5-2 against Liverpool.
Yeah, we played a 3-5-2
I thought we played a 4-3-4-3, but you could tell me differently.
Nah, it was Lo Celso, it was Ndombele. Liverpool was a 3-5-2. Yeah.
Did he play against Leicester?
Leicester was a 3-5-2. We played Højbjerg, Skip and Winks. We played all three of them. Yeah?
I'm trying to say is,
I said it before, it's crystal clear now, and it should have been crystal clear after the Leicester game, that we play our best football as a 3-5-2. So every Premier League, okay, do what you want in the FA Cup, right? But in the Premier League, this is it now. 3-5-2 or hell.
Well, this is the wake-up call we might have needed, because there's no point getting it later on when it's completely out of your hands to make this change. So maybe he wakes up today and he realises can't play that formation against whoever or play it anymore. Let's go with a 3-5-2. It could be that. But I definitely believe that top four is still doable. Let's just see what happens by the end of the weekend. Sunday evening, we'll have a better understanding because we could be pretty much out of it.
So,
yeah, I
at
agree.
That point. So from what I've seen and from what I've heard from you gentlemen, there are some positives. Obviously, Ash drew out a lot of negatives that have to be said.
Of course. That's negative, Ash.
I mean, you know, you know, Shaken is trying to be more optimistic, which is also good because
because you're helping me though, man.
Usually there's a correlation between, you know, Spurs not doing so well or Spurs falling just right above, you know, right before glory.
We're not going to say that word.
I'm not going to say it. You know, we've said it already on the podcast. Listen, gentlemen, usually I would let you guys off the hook, but you guys know how we do it on the platform. It's time to do a little bit of quick fire. Today, the questions are not as turbulent. I think you guys have given us enough
I think so.
Enough ammunition to take with us. So it's time to play a bit of quick fire. Mr. Ash, you already know how we do it. Shagan, I know you are a veteran of this. So, gentlemen, are you guys ready to play quickfire?
Yeah.
Ready.
Once again, I'm going to interchange. So I'm going to start with Shagan, then Ash. Ash, you get three questions. Shagan, you're going to get four because you haven't been here in a while. Sorry. Quickfire starts now. Question number one, Shagan. In terms of performance, what players in the starting 11 don't you have worry for at all?
Lloris, Son. Romero. Yeah, that's it.
Ash, in terms of performance, what players in the starting 11 are you worried about?
Højbjerg, Emerson, and Sanchez.
Second question. What's the best football you've ever seen Spurs play?
The undefeated season at White Hart Lane, with every game, they were unbelievable.
Ash, is prime Gareth Bale better than prime Wayne Rooney?
No. Nah. Prime Wayne Rooney was just this is different gravy, man. Different. They're different players. They were different players. Rooney was like a striker slasher, like a support striker or a number 10, or he wasn't an out and out number 9 type of guy, but he could do everything. Bale was like a winger, predominantly a right winger. I think the better footballer was Wayne Rooney. He was the better footballer, better technique, wider range of skill sets, a lot more technical. Bale was more kind of pace, power. Yeah, Rooney was definitely better.
Second, from best to worst, list these in order. Matt Doherty, Serge Aurier, Emerson Royal.
Yo, can it not be a tie?
No.
Serge Aurier, Royal, Doherty.
Ash,
yeah.
Who's the best Tottenham player you've ever seen play in person and why?
I think it's got to be one of these two guys. It's got to be either Luka Modric or it's got to be Moussa Dembele. But I'm going to go for... I know he's a better player, but I'm just saying from what I enjoyed seeing, I'm going to give it to my guy Moussa Dembele, because the way he just used his athleticism, his technique to just dance through midfields, when you watch it live, you're just sitting there in awe. But I know Modric is better, but for me, watching Moussa, I'm giving it to him.
Question number four, Shagan. In his prime, or in their prime, rather, who was the better footballer / defender? Jan Vertonghen or Toby Alderweireld?
That's easy. That's Jan. Jan was the better defender.
Facts.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Ash and Shagan, this concludes Quickfire. Thank you guys for being on. We're definitely going to do this again. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the 91st minute with the round table. Thank you guys for coming on the show. Shagan, Ash.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Cheers.